Hey, what's going on? You're listening to the Darius Vuru Show, where I talk productivity, life, health, wealth, business, and also books. And on today's episode, I'm going to talk about a very important concept that I recently learned that can drastically change the outcome of your career, or it can definitely influence your decisions about the profession you're in, or the market you're in, and activities that you are pursuing. So it's called Price's Law, and I learned about this from Jordan Peterson, the author of 12 Rules for Life, which is a book that I highly recommend reading. It's on my reading list, and it's also in the description of this podcast, but it's a great book, and in his lectures that I also recommend watching on YouTube, Peterson talks about how in book sales, a few authors are responsible for the majority of book sales. Now, when you present it that way, it reminds you of the Pareto principle, which basically says that life is asymmetric, right? That a minority, that's where it originates from, right? That a minority within a country often has the majority of the wealth, of the real estate, of the money, all those things, of the wealth in general. And you can apply it to business as well. The 80-20 rule is applied to productivity as well. Often we see that 20% of our activities or the energy that we put in our career gives us 80% of our results. Now, there is a difference between Price's Law and the Pareto principle. And the Pareto principle, before we get into, comparing all these things and having an intellectual discussion, which is something that I really hate, and I never want to have those type of discussions, but Derek Price, he was a British physicist and a historian, and what he found was that in academia, that 50% of the papers that were published were published by the square root of the total number of people who participated in that domain. So, for example, if you have 25 academics who are publishing papers in a certain field, 5 of them, which is the square root of 25, publish 50% of the papers. And this is not only true in academia. When I was working in sales, when I had my first sales job, I noticed that only a few people on my floor brought in more than 50% of all the sales. In that case, there were only 4 people out of the 25 who brought in 50% 50-60% of the sales. I can't remember exactly, but it was more than half. And the rest, right, 21 people brought in, let's say, 40%. So that's a very asymmetric relationship. And, why is this important? Why am I talking about this? Why am I writing about this? The reason is that we have to realize that life is asymmetrical and that often only a few people are responsible for most of the value that is created or the work that is done. And if we go deeper and think about and analyze and research, why is that? Just think about it a little bit. Why is it that only, a few people in sales, for example, bring in the most sales? Why is it that a few writers or bloggers publish the most articles that are read or books that are sold? Why is it that only a few directors are responsible for most, top grossing movies? Why is that? Now we can think about all kinds of, Illuminati kind of reasons and say, oh, this person was privileged and this person was that, kinds of weird reasons. And there are probably some weird reasons, and especially when it comes to entertainment. But let's just keep it practical, right? Just the company that you work for, or the field that you are in, why is it that some people are, you know, responsible for the most the value that is created there, and therefore also why is it that they get most of the rewards? If you look at it closer, the reason always, not always, but most of the time, comes down to skills. So the people who are better at something, they often get have more output. You know, if you're better, if you're good at writing, you can write more. If you are good at sales in a particular niche, because that's also sometimes you're a good salesperson, and if you are, you know, put it at the wrong company, then you might not sell. There has to be a good match with, you know, your sales skills, the market, the company, the product or the service that you're selling. It's also true for an entrepreneur. Like, I'm an entrepreneur, but I can't start a business in every single industry. I can if I want, but I probably won't be successful. So the reason is it comes down to, you know, a lot of different factors, but when you boil them down, it comes to, you know, having the right skills for the right industry and right company. What does it mean to you? Here's what I personally learned from this. Look at your current profession. Are you in a position to create substantial value? So I'm not talking about mediocre value or just, you know, being able to get by or just do your job or do what is, you know, expected of you. Think about whether you can, you know, are you unmissable, right? If you don't show up, the company or the business will get a real hit from that. And if the answer is no, then think about two things. Can you put yourself in a position to be that person in the future? Maybe it's early in your career, right? Maybe say, oh, I don't have the skills yet, but I'm seeing some results. I'm seeing some traction. Then stay and improve. But if the answer is no, I would look to find a different field or a different industry or a different company or a different role where you can be that important person that provides or that generates a lot of value and therefore is unmissable. And once you do that, when you start providing a lot of value, when you create a lot of work that is important in your company or in your field, okay, now we're talking, because now you start getting the rewards that all of the other people do not get. For example, salespeople who perform well can do whatever they want, right? They can come in late or can work from home. They can do whatever they want in most organizations, right? Because they bring in a lot of sales, and the company can't, they don't want to get rid of them because they depend on them. And it's the same with programmers, coders who, you know, built really important aspects or functionalities of a piece of software or, you know, of a company, and the company relies on you, yeah, you know, you're in a good position. And I think that is a good place to be in, not only for your own career success and, you know, longevity and all those things, but also when you provide value, you feel more important, right? So nobody loves to be a nobody. And the good thing about this is that we have to realize that we need to find that match, right? We need to find a good match with our skills, experience, our interests as well, and an industry and a company. And it is really hard. It's really difficult. It's not like, oh yeah, I'll find it tomorrow. It takes a long time to find it, and, you know, it took me a long time to find it as well. But once you are in that position and you can provide value and people are, you know, dependent on you, I think that's where you get the most rewards. So I hope that was useful to you. Check out my article that I published today as well on this topic. If you have questions, let me know. Feel free to get in touch. And until next time, take care. If you haven't subscribed, feel free to subscribe. Catch you on the next episode.